Blog Talk Radio.
This is the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter to listen to our archive shows at Red Cedar Report. Today on the show, we're going to be taking phone calls, you know, if we get any from any listeners, and talking about social media and sports. But first, we're going to recap what was really a rough game for the Spartans against the Iowa Hawkeyes last night. I am Tyler Hayward, iSports Web contributor. Ryan McCumber is here with me as well. And Ryan, let's touch on that game.
It was pretty brutal from the start. MSU just didn't defend well, especially in the first half. Iowa was just bombing away three-pointers, especially in the first half, and just making almost anything they shot. MSU just didn't play tough defense on the perimeter, and it absolutely destroyed them.
I think some of the instances they did play good defense first half. But after a while, you start to get disheartened when you do have a hand right in the guy's face and he's still burying the three. I'm not saying that happened all the time. There was that one really obvious open shot where Valentine's trying to run back on the break and he's telling someone behind him to cover Jock and there's someone behind him. And so, see, I think he thought Marin was pulling up, but he wasn't there. And so I think it was just one of those things where it was a combination of it, because Michigan State, they played better defense than to allow how many points they did in the first half. Iowa was making their shots. They were shooting 9,000% from the field in the first half.
Right. I mean, like you and I said before the show, I don't know if this is a matchup issue with Iowa to be honest, I thought the team was lacking energy, especially in the first half. The second half, not so much. But in the first half,
right.
I mean, it was pretty obvious that Iowa, who had had 9 days off, I mean, they were prepared to come in, and they just came out with more energy than Michigan State. It was very obvious that Iowa, I thought it was pretty obvious Iowa wanted the game more from the start.
Which, for a Tom Izzo team that just gets so the fighting aspect of it, we'll say, you know, they want the revenge, they want the rebounds, they want the 50-50 ball. You expected it to kind of be the other way around, especially given what Michigan State's done this year. Iowa, though, they're not exactly a bunch of slouches like everybody wants to apparently believe. But one of the biggest things that I kind of noticed last night, and if you didn't notice it, you didn't watch, you didn't listen to the game, and you did not see anything written up about the game last night, is the play of Aaron Harris. Because he was absolutely terrible last night. He plays awful off the bench for whatever reason. I want to give you some numbers here, and then we'll get your thoughts on it. Now, the games that Harris started, this also includes the Penn State game, where Valentine did end up coming back. Harris shot 50% from the field, averaged 16.8 points per game, 4.6 rebounds, and 1.6 assists. Last night, moves back to the bench, 2-9 from the field, 2 turnovers, 1 rebound, 7 points. And he kind of reverted back to his West Virginia days on defense. And instead of being able to take someone to the hoop, he seemed to stop the entire offense like he's Carmelo Anthony. He's had a tendency to play outside the offense anyways, but it was almost worse last night than it was at the beginning of the season. And look, I'm not going to try to, because over the last 5 games, we saw why Izzo wanted him. We saw why Izzo got him away from West Virginia. But he's not been a valuable asset off the bench, but he has been when he's been starting. Is this like a mental issue with Harris, or what's the deal?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's more mental, more or less. I don't think that he's happy coming off the bench, maybe. Maybe that's it. I'm not totally sure. But, yeah, when he starts, he plays well. And then other than that, like, he was just terrible last night. I mean, he started out with that dunk that was nuts. But other than that, he was just terrible. I mean, yeah, part of it's probably mental. I think that, I mean, even, like, I was thinking, oh, maybe this is because Denzel's back. And then you look, you know, you remember how he played against Penn State, and he was just lights out. I mean, I think that Harris is, I think he's more of an inconsistent player. He was that way at West Virginia. You know, one night he might put up like 20, 30 points, and then the next night he shoots, what, like you said, like he did yesterday, 2-for-9 from the field and plays absolutely no defense. He's just an inconsistent player, it seems. But, I mean, he's got a lot of potential, but the consistency just is not there with him.
All right, and I wrote this piece, I think it was just the other day. I think it was Wednesday I wrote it. And it was about Aaron Harris's contribution, and it kind of mentioned the same stats. And it was just, look, when he goes back to the – he's taken two steps forward since he was a starter. When he goes back to the bench, which obviously was the case, he can't take a step back. Well, he took 5 steps back last night because his defense has steadily been coming along, even when he has been coming off the bench. Last night, it wasn't there at all. There was – and, I mean, I'm not going to put it all on him, but there were a lot of the miscommunication issues that the Spartans had on defense involved Colby Wollenman and Aaron Harris.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to be honest. This is nothing against Colby. I mean, he played well last year in spot duty, but I just don't see why he plays as many minutes as he does. Yeah, Schilling gets in foul trouble every once in a while, but I mean, Wollenman just looks
this
lost.
Year.
Yeah, he looks lost. I mean, I just don't get why he gets so much playing time. I mean, you and I discussed this before the show. Maybe Izzo probably needs to slim down the rotation a little bit. But, I mean, at this point, he's just trying to still figure things out. But I think it's pretty obvious Wollenman just isn't – he's just lost this year. I don't know what it is. I mean, I didn't expect him to play at a borderline All-Big Ten level at all. But, I mean, you expect at least a little bit of decent contribution from him. He's going to play.
Other offseason where if you want to go back and you want to look at that Purdue game last year at the Breslin Center – what was it? That was senior night, I think, where him and Costello and Schilling had their way with Haas and Hammond. I mean, I wasn't expecting that from him, but I was expecting, hey, you know what? Michigan State can maybe get some solid minutes out of him, but I think right now what Tom Izzo is trying to do is he's trying to find a guy in. Frankly, I think it's between Wollenman, Best, and Goins all fighting for one spot. I want to go back to the Aaron Harris thing where you said maybe it gets to him where, like, as far as him coming off the bench, maybe it kind of gets in his head a little bit. How is that possible is my question, because when you transferred to Michigan State, when Aaron Harris transferred to Michigan State, he had to have known that he was not going to start over Forbes or Valentine.
That's only a question he can answer. I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea what's going on in the guy's head, but I think it's pretty obvious it's a mental issue if we're seeing that big of a drop-off in stats with him coming off the bench. I mean, I just can't think of any other explanation, honestly.
That's going to kind of bring me to my next point. My next question, do you start him?
You know,
over Forbes. We'll say over Forbes because Forbes has struggled against Iowa. That's been 2 of the last 5 games. Is Forbes starting to slide a little bit and just needs a little kick in the pants?
You know, that might help. I remember when Izzo was bringing Trey's off the bench part of the year last year, and he started going off. Maybe that's what Forbes needs. You know, sometimes that's the motivation the player needs. I think Harris, I mean, I said before the season, I think he should come off the bench, but if he's not going to play like that when he comes off the bench, I don't know, you know. Oh, Tom Izzo, you know, I trust what he does. I questioned him last year, and I wound up eating my words and learning my lesson. So, I mean, whatever he does, I'm usually okay with, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's up to him, and I really think that Harris should start. Maybe Forbes does need a kickstart. Who knows?
We're not going to, like, completely, like, cover the whole, oh, you need to have faith in Izzo thing. We talked about that last time. But it does kind of bring us to the next thing that we do want to talk about, the role of social media in sports. I mean, you know how everybody is right now. Oh, I want this now, I want this now, I want this now. And right now, everybody's throwing in the towel on the Spartans because of a blowout loss. And you have a lot of people questioning Tom Izzo, and they're acting like, hey, losing to Iowa is the worst thing ever. And if you want to go and you want to look at Iowa's schedule, what they've done so far, yeah, they lost a close one to Dayton and to Notre Dame, but those are teams that, even though they are a little bit down this year compared to normal, they're not terrible, and they can pull off big upsets from time to time. They lost to a great Iowa State team by one. They beat Purdue. They smacked around Wichita State by 25. I think Iowa's the favorite in the Big Ten right now. Why do people sit there and question Tom Izzo after everything that he's accomplished, acting like armchair point guards?
Tyler, I mean, this fan base is absolutely spoiled. I mean, you got two of the better football and basketball programs in the country, and people, they're just not used to losing. And Tom Izzo has taken Michigan State to seven Final Fours, and he just knows what he's doing. Yeah, okay, things might not go great in January and February, but when you get to March, these things happen in January and February for a reason, and Tom Izzo knows what he's doing. I don't know why people think that they know more than him. I questioned them last year. I was wrong. I learned my lesson. I will question some personnel moves that he makes, but I'm not going to go all flat out crazy about what he does. I mean, the fan base is straight up spoiled. Sure, yeah, they haven't won a national title since 2000. But people look at Final Fours, and almost anybody would, unless you're Duke, maybe Kansas, Kentucky, or North Carolina, most people would do anything to be in Michigan State's basketball program shoes. I mean, the fan base is spoiled. I mean, that's really the only explanation I can come up with.
And it's nauseating. I saw something where someone said, I'm going to leave them nameless, I'm not going to call out individuals, Tom Izzo needs to figure out his rotation. What do you think he's trying to do? Do you think he likes playing Colby Wollman 8 minutes a game? Probably not. And I'm not bashing Wollman. Like I said, he had a few good moments last year. But do you think he wants to play Wollman 8 minutes a game, Goins 8 minutes a game, and Best 8 minutes a game to try to find out who his fifth big is going to be behind Clark, Davis, Costello, and Schilling?
Yeah, he's trying to figure out what he's going to do in March. He knows that he's going to lose a couple games before we get to the tournament. It's better to lose now than to lose in March. And he's doing what he has to do to figure out what the rotation is going to be. I mean, I think he realizes he has to cut it down at some point, but he's trying to push guys for playing time. I mean, that's why he's playing so many guys right now. He wants to know what he's going to be, what his rotation is going to be once he gets to the tournament, once we get to the Big Ten tournament, you know, if they're competing for a Big Ten title in March still. I mean, he's trying to figure out what clicks. It's what he does.
I'm gonna throw a question at you that we didn't really talk about. Give me your rotation. Give me your top 8 or 9 guys. How would you play that out?
Oh man. Okay. I like Deontay Davis starting. Costello starting. Harris, Valentine, Tum-Tum, and then coming off the bench. I like Forbes coming off the bench, actually. I think that he gives a big kickstart, like Trice did last year scoring. After that, got to go with Clark. Who else am I forgetting? Best hasn't played all that well this year. Trying to think as well. I like McQuaid coming off. McQuaid, let's see. I like an 8 or 9 guy rotation, but I mean, Izzo's just trying to figure it out, but that's mine. I've got 8 guys, I think, there.
I would go Tum-Tum, Forbes, and Valentine as your 1, your 2, and your 3. At the 4, I'm going to go with Deontay Davis. I'm going to go with Gavin Schilling at the 5. Now, the reason I'd be doing that is because you would get that senior leadership coming off the bench in Costello. You would still have a scoring big coming off the bench in Costello, even though it would be incredibly hard to bench him. With how well he's been playing over the last 5 games, he's been the most consistent player on the Spartans. Clark, you're back up 4. Harris, you're back up 2 or 3. Then obviously you have McQuaid as your backup point guard.
All right.
It's the same set of guys.
Yeah, right.
It's the same set of guys. Occasionally, I do like what Goins brings to the table. So as far as just being a fighter.
Right, I agree with that. I mean, he brings a lot of energy. I think you and I are almost on the same page.
On what got us started in this conversation, you and I are not Tom Izzo.
No, exactly. I'm okay with whatever he does. Yeah, he knows. There's a reason he's getting paid the big dollars and I'm not.
How much are you getting paid for
simple
this?
Simple as that. What?
I said, how much are you getting paid for this again?
Nothing.
Exactly. Another aspect, though, regarding the social media thing, is it carried over to football. And it carried over. I think what it was a lot of the attacking was on the coordinators because of poor play against Alabama. But no one's going to sit there and attack D'Antonio because of what he's built up the program. And, a lot of the attention's been on Dave Warner and Harlan Barnett. And everyone's saying, oh, well, even if they don't want him out, changes have to be made. Why? Why? Because Michigan State lost to a national champion? I mean, the way that they lost it sucked. But they're saying that Dave Warner needs to be fired because they never adjusted last year. The year before that, he put up 40 points a game. Sorry, let me rephrase that. The year before that, he put up a school record 40 points a game. And if you're going to sit there after 1 year and say, hey, Dave Warner has to be fired because of this season, should he have been given a lifetime contract the season before? I'm just saying, that's that logic.
Yeah, it's knee-jerk
reaction. If you're
going to
base it off. You could look at the struggles with our secondary as well. Harlan Barnett can't focus on the DBs. That's why they struggled in the past game on defense. Yeah, Darian Hicks, R.J. Williamson, Biante Copeland. they all missed a lot of the year, Copeland and Williamson practically all of it. So, I mean, there's going to be some setbacks.
Right. And, you know, this is just knee-jerk reactions, just like the basketball team. Yes. I think that the Harlan Barnett one is the funniest one I've heard. The guy has been in D.C. for 1 year, and he is almost – the secondary was hurt throughout the season. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, they just don't have that – they don't have a Darquez Dennard or Trey Lanswood back there. That's what I said before the game. I mean, yeah, they might struggle a little bit. And I think it's more of a personnel issue than it was a coaching issue. I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect Arjun Calhoun here, but, I mean, he's –
No, but
let's
you
be
had
honest.
Two freshmen starting at safety.
Exactly.
At one point.
For the Michigan game. No, for the Nebraska game, you had three. You had Tyson Smith, Grayson Miller, and Carter Willis back there. It was three at one point. I mean, it's not his fault. The athletes aren't. I mean, they aren't where they want to be yet to compete with an Alabama. I mean, yeah, you can compete with. I mean, it's different in conference. Yeah, Ohio State is better athletes, but you're scouting them throughout the off season, and
you know you're going to see them. Yeah.
Yep.
You've seen them before.
Right. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous knee-jerk reactions from the fan base once again saying, oh, yeah, let's fire the coordinators. Our quarterback was hurt, you know, for five games, wasn't at his best. The offensive line had injuries and everything. But, yeah, let's blame it on the freaking coordinator. I mean, I'm not the biggest Dave Warner fan. I think that he can, you know, be a little bit more creative with play calling, but the calling for the firing is ridiculous. Who in the world? I mean, I saw people saying, oh, yeah, you know, they could hire Chip Kelly. Yeah, because bringing in a spread type of coach would definitely fit in with the pro-style offense Michigan State runs. That's just brilliant.
Well, that plus he's not going to turn down $6 million from the 49ers.
I mean, just
$6 million a year. Offense had the injuries. Jack Allen, Dennis Finley, Jack Conklin, Cody Keeler, Connor Cook, Madre London, LJ Scott were all hurt for at least part of the season. And you want to change the entire base of some fans want to change the entire base of the football program because, well, after winning Big Ten Championship and making the playoff, you want to know what happens when you make changes all the time? You turn into the Cleveland Browns. There's no continuity. And that would be the issue if Michigan State were to go out and get a different offensive coordinator. Because you already have Tyler O'Connor, who's the lead dog for quarterback. He's a senior. That means in three seasons, you're probably looking at...
What he's learned is going out the window.
Three seasons, you're probably looking at three quarterbacks in 3 years. And some people want to change the entire offense. It's going to be tough enough for that bridge to hold steady for a first-time, full-time starter from Connor Cook to Brian LeWerk or Messiah DeWeaver. You don't need to complicate things. And look, this is how I ended my piece about the coordinators the other day. We need for this reason to change things.
It's a knee-jerk reaction. It's what it is. People are like, I mean, yes, I understand the frustration with the play calling Dave Warner has. I hate it. I hate what he calls runs up the middle of almost every first down play. I hate that. But, I mean, come on. Who else are they going to hire? I mean, I'd love to hear such a great suggestion of a guy to bring in that would be so much better that we could bring in right away that wouldn't screw with a pro-style offense or screw with whatever these quarterbacks that are in the system have learned over – it takes about 2 years to learn a playbook. I'd love to be – I'm open to suggestions. Please, please tell me who to hire because I would love to hear it. I'm sure you can't come up with anything better.
Well, my favorite thing is when some of these people, some of these fans, they go out and they're like, look at what it did when Alabama forced their coordinator out and got Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, because we get
there's
told,
one Lane Kiffin in college football.
Kiffin. Yeah.
There's
unless
one Lane Kiffin in college football.
Right. Yeah. And Michigan, let's be honest here, Michigan State's not Alabama. They're not going to have the cachet to bring in a guy like Lane Kiffin, who just got fired from the USC job. I mean, come on, seriously? I just don't get some of these people who think that they can bring in somebody better off right now that would want to come to Michigan State and, you know, wouldn't screw with the continuity that these quarterbacks have had for the last couple years. I mean, come on.
And I kind of want to go back to something that was said a while ago on 97 won the ticket, like Delaney said it. This is the most overreactive, sudden changes of heart, or however you want to put it. This fan base right now, and if you go to the Michigan State recruiting page on Facebook, started by Ryan, you would see how pathetic this fan base is when they are between their football and their basketball program right now, a combined 28-4.
And yet we've got the overreactions of people freaking out, saying, oh, yeah, but, you know, we need to fire people, or Izzo needs to earn his money. It's like, oh, my gosh, come on. I mean, almost anybody in the country would love to trade shoes with you and have the success that MSU's having. I mean,
there's one school based upon the two major revenue sports that is close to matching what Michigan State has, and that's Oklahoma.
That's it. That's it, exactly. I mean, yeah, I get some of the criticism. I'm okay with it. I totally understand it. Yeah, I'm going to question some personnel issues. Moose Izzo has too, but some of these knee-jerk reactions or, yes, and I've questioned Dave Warner's play calling, but why would you want to screw with a new, especially coming in next year, why would you want to screw with what you have with a new quarterback that you're going to have starting next year and have him learn a whole new playbook? It's ridiculous.
Right. All right, and I'm right there with you. And to be fair, I wouldn't say that we are questioning them. We are offering different alternatives because,
yes.
I mean, on this end of the phone anyways, I've got faith in the guy who put up 40 points a year ago. I've got faith in Tom Izzo. I've got faith in Mark D'Antonio. I've got faith in the best coaching duo in the entire country. Got about we've got less than a minute left. Ryan, there's something very special that you wanted to bring up. It involves Quinn Nordin, the number one high school kicker in the country. If you want to talk about it, you've got about 20 seconds.
Okay, so apparently Jim Harbaugh was sleeping over at Quinn Nordin's house this morning. And there was a Michigan State fan in the Rockford area who had a sign. You can check it out on Twitter. Mitch Lyons tweeted it out that showed the Michigan said, welcome, Jim. And it had Michigan the score of the Michigan State game. Even Harbaugh tweeted about it on Twitter. It's one of the funniest things I've seen. Well played on both sides for him taking it with a bit of class. Just absolutely funny stuff. Go ahead and check it out. Get yourself a laugh for the day. And, yeah.
All right, for Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.